celebrate diversity, not be afraid of it.
Erin Rose Ward, she is back, one of the biggest instrumental figures of our show in the Yoga Moves You podcast days. So happy to have you back on Yoga Talk Pod. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I am so, so honored to be back.
Yeah, I am really happy that you're on.
It feels like life 2.0. I'm so excited.
So much has changed, you know, and one of the things I think is really cool is that, you know, you were an early adopter and showed love to the show really from the start. Like, I'm just always curious, you know, when I reached out to you and so gracious to come on the show, what actually made you think it would be a good idea to come on the show?
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, first of all, when you reached out, you were so open and kind and I loved what you were doing. And it was very easy to establish a sense of camaraderie and connection. And we're both kind of on the similar path, you know, just talking about things we love. I do it through the medium of teaching and you do it through the medium of podcasting, but we're tribe members.
We are. And it's interesting because I just had asked you to do an interview. And then after the interview, I was like, wow, that like really felt good. That seemed to work. I wonder if she'd be interested in coming on for more. And then that's how we ended up with Excavating with Erin, because you were writing on your blog and I had stumbled across, I purposely went to your website and looked at your blog. And I was like, there is a lot to comb through here. And I think it would make for a great audio piece to really work through your blogs that are well-written and were well-written when I was looking through them. And there was so much to talk about. It was really connecting with me. Are you still writing?
That makes me so happy. Yeah. You know, recently I've gotten back into writing as a form of,
It's okay, Erin. California is a weed state. We'll give you a pass.
This is true. Back into writing as a form of expression and freedom and fun and kind of like trying to make sense of the world. And it just happened with time, with sort of my spring and summer. And I was leading a bunch of different in-person experiences and traveling. So writing was there, but not as voluminous. But recently I've gotten back in and I've actually started writing more haikus.
Really?
As like a meditation. Yeah.
Do you have one off the top of your head? That's 575, five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables for those of you that are not haiku oriented.
Yeah. I'll send you some because I would love to get your thoughts on them. It's like, they're my way of, you know, taking these large questions, these large concepts that can be like overwhelming, you know, like who am I or how do I deal with love and anger at the same time? Or like, what I wonder what the world is going to turn into, or why is it so hard to go with the flow sometimes? These kind of big questions that, you know, we all grapple with. And you can put them into a form that's digestible and small and precious, and it makes it feel much less grand, I guess, while still being really important. So I very much, this is a complete tangent, but I'm a big fan of haikus at the moment.
I think, you know, talking about haikus that you brought up, and I mean, tangents are, that's what we're about here. It's perfectly fine. I mean, it's all about life.
Life is a tangent, I guess.
Sure. Do you think that knowing that there's a certain structure when you're going to the creative process of writing, right? So you know that it has to fit this format of five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, that's forcing, I don't want to use the word force, but that is making you be a little more poignant and sharp in your thoughts. So instead of worrying, I don't know if I should take out that line or, that was good, but and you get a second guess and question. In general, not you, but people in general, that when you put in this form, it's like, I'm going to streamline it to fit this, and it's going to be the message that I want to deliver because it has to be for this particular format.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like in anything. It's like why we practice asana, so that we can really get an experience in our bodies within the boundary of the postures, right? Like if someone was like, to your mat and like, move your body, you might not find the engagement and the discomfort and the intensity and the peace that goes along with it. So same thing with writing. It's like the more boundary you have, the more freedom creatively I feel that I have.
Would you say that haikus are maybe analogous to the Twitter or hashtags of poetry?
Ooh, no, because only because I don't think, I mean, I can see what you're saying creatively, if you want to be like creatively, if you want to creatively create tweets and hashtags, but well, you know, I guess maybe, I guess it depends on what your intention for the tweet or the haiku is, if you're just trying to relay information or if there is a, you feel it is artistry.
You know, Erin, the reason I brought that up, because if you think about the tweet, and I'm not a big Twitter person, I just got onto it when we, you know, put the podcast in its new phase, is some people talk about how they're on all the social media platforms, right? Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, fill in the blank. And they say, like, Twitter is really tough because you have to sum it up in only a certain amount of characters. And they also reference Instagram, how your video has to be underneath a minute. You know what I mean? So you really got to make it tight. You got to get it concise. I love that, actually. I love the challenge of that. And it really trims away any of the fat that you might leave on.
Yeah. I would even say Twitter is more analogous to, let's say, the screenwriting of social media.
Like, oh, that's interesting.
Because you're trying to relay information, but without all of the extra stuff, right? You have to be succinct. So it's a succinct. So it's definitely like, I would say, if we're running with that metaphor, I would think it's more information versus pure expression. And because other people are, I think a lot of the readership turns to Twitter for information and relationship with who is tweeting, whereas the haiku, it's not really so much about the poet, you know, it's more about the art of it.
I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. That was well said. That makes a lot of sense, the way that you said it. And people do associate who is sending out the tweets, who is sending out the, or who's putting out the post on Instagram or Facebook. So I think poetry, especially haiku, and coming from Japan, right, it's going to be much more about not... They have an expression in Japan. I used to have a Japanese student. They said, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. They would never raise their hand to answer questions in my class because they didn't want to stand out. I was like, you know the answer. I need someone to answer. They wouldn't raise their hand.
Wow.
Yeah, true story. Erin, at the time we first started speaking last year, or early, late of last year, or early of this year, one of the years that it was early or late, you had just left NYC for LA, where you are now. And you were in the process of finding your footing there. Can you kind of give a recap of what you've been up to? Because I know it's been a really busy year for you, but also a big year of growth as a teacher and as a human being.
Yeah, for sure. I have, yeah, you know, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, which I'm super grateful for. But I've been teaching regularly in LA, and I've been teaching the class by Taryn Toomey.
That looks really cool, Erin. Could you kind of, honestly, I don't mean to stab you in your tracks, but the class by Taryn Toomey is, I know, one of the places you first started teaching at when you went there. And it looks different. It looks interesting. What is it that makes that a little bit different than some of the other places you teach at and where students would find, I guess, more traditional classes that makes that stand out?
Yeah, for sure. So it's not yoga. It's yogic in philosophy, in the way in which we intentionally breathe and move. You know, you can find yoga and the yoga of life, the yoga of any movement, you know, surfing, karate, tennis can all be yoga. But so this is yogic in philosophy, in that it is a mindful practice, but it's high intensity. So it combines physical discomfort through high intensity movement and contraction, strengthening, plyometrics, calisthenics, cardio. We bring students to a physical edge, to a point of discomfort, in order to dig deeper into how we handle that discomfort. What reaction comes up, and then practice breathing, practice staying, practice how we want to speak to ourselves. So the kind of role of the teacher is a little bit different in a traditional yoga practice, because you're very engaged, you're doing it with the student, and you're speaking more about the emotional, the mental, the energetic, as you're being very precise about what the body is doing in any certain moment.
That's so cool. And I also, from watching a couple of videos, I've never been to one of your classes yet there, and I would love to do that, but I know music plays a huge part in those classes. It's an experience. I don't even know if you can call it a class.
Yeah. Music in the class by Taryn Toomey is a huge, huge part of it. The playlist becomes a co-teacher because it is the beat and the tone that you're writing as you do these movements. And I include that in my yoga practice, but it's more of a canvas of a background rather than being spotlighted in the way it is in method.
So Erin, would you say one of the major differences between you as a yoga teacher and teaching yoga at the class by Taryn Toomey when you make your playlist, because I wasn't thinking of asking this or where this is going to go, but this is how you and I function. That's why it works so well. Is that the music that you might pick for your yoga classes that you teach outside of the class by Taryn Toomey, one of the traditional students you teach at, with air quotes traditional, because what is traditional? But that your music does not have lyrics, but at the class it has lyrics.
A lot of my, it's not, it's yes and no. Some of my music for the class does not have lyrics, and some for yoga, okay. A lot. It for yoga does. It's more of the intentional rise and fall, the drama of the music, the drama of songs pitched next to each other. So you're creating kind of a whole experience from start to finish that is very intentional. Whereas that can definitely be done in the yoga practice, but if music were to be that powerful of a force in the yoga practice, I would wonder if I would be able to offer the same yogic experience in a vinyasa setting.
I get that. I get that. I can appreciate that, where you're coming from. I know that, you know, the reason I brought up the class by Taryn Toomey is I just remember that was one of the places that you start working at when you went out to LA from New York City. What else have you been doing? Because we have not spoken in quite some time. And you were on the show a lot when you first went out to LA. And quite honestly, I think that we both need to kind of focus and hunker down on building what we've built. So it's kind of nice to reunite just without even knowing, you know, if or when. But here we are. So it's pretty freaking cool. And we're both in growth phases with our individual work and our dharma, right? So what else are you doing in Los Angeles? I know you're doing a lot.
Taught at the Wanderlust Festival. And then I've collaborated on a few retreats locally and internationally. I'm actually leaving for Puerto Rico soon, in a couple of days, the next one. So I've been traveling a bit to teach, which has been fabulous, and so I'm so grateful that I get to do that. I also decided to go to Burning Man this year, which, you know,
how was that?
Not to be a cliche, but changed my life. I think everyone should go. It's the best thing I've done. besides becoming a yoga teacher, it's the best thing I've done.
Can you just make that very personal? Like, what made it the best thing for you?
Yeah, sure. So for me, I very much appreciate that it's a giving economy, that there's no money, and that everyone steps into this vibe that has been the precedent since it was created, which is you're not doing anything to get something. You're simply offering. You're offering your energy, your gift, your services, whatever you want to bring to the table, you bring it from a place of love. And that is, even if you go not expecting to be a part of that, you participate because it feels so good. You know, you're walking down the playa and someone's like, hey, you look like you could use like a cold lemonade. Come to our camp. And then that makes you want to give something to the next person. And so the openness, the opportunity to deeply connect with people right away was so powerful. And I really honored that. I met someone at Burning Man who was strangely like me in male form, and we have developed a really beautiful relationship since then that we're exploring, and so that's been really powerful.
Congratulations, you deserve it.
Thank you. I camping in nature, even though it's the desert, it's a really primal place. Dancing has become my medicine, and I've actually started to teach a more spiritual, ecstatic dance experiences. And I got to basically spend a week dancing in the desert, which was incredible. So, I mean, and there's more to unpack, and there's highs and lows and all the things. But in general, I would say it's a very powerful picture of how humans can treat and be in relationship with one another.
I like what's that. Thank you for sharing your own experience, right? Because we could all log on and check out pictures and you know, photos with captions, but to hear it firsthand is cool. I've never been there, so it's kind of nice to hear it, especially from someone who I'm friends with who can share a unique perspective. Did you dance as a child?
I danced for myself. I didn't take classes, but you know, the turning on the radio, or my mom used to have the Monkees albums and the Cure albums, and yeah, we would vinyls, and we would be cleaning the house and she'd turn them on, and my mom wouldn't say she's a dancer, but she is. And so I identify as a dancer, but I've never taken technical classes.
Well, the reason I ask you that is because I just started playing ice hockey, and it's almost like I connected with this feeling of I'm going back to my roots. You know, like it's okay to be childlike, and it's okay to open back up that part of my life and enjoy it as an adult.
Yes. Yes, of course. I mean, if we don't have that, then life gets pretty pretty sterile, I'd say.
Many of us go through a lot of things in our childhood in order to function as adults and to get ahead, and to we kind of have to brush some of those things underneath the table because they're so intense to deal with that we kind of avoid even the things we enjoyed as a child, just so we don't have the memories and the references and the emotions tied to them. And I don't know if I'm speaking for everyone. I just know that was something for me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's super real. But to revisit from a place of that was then and now I can heal through that is also a powerful practice and a courageous practice.
Thank you. You know, I want to catch up with you on something that I can relate to. So, you know, the whole New York City versus Los Angeles, not even versus, they're very different, right? But they're both prominent, especially in yoga. They're both prominent places in our country, right? You have the New York and East Coast vibe going on, and then the West Coast. See, it's like that just in general. But what do you think the main difference between you teaching in New York City and living there and now moving to Los Angeles and teaching there? Something that's the biggest difference in your mind that you can think of.
I think there's a lot of great yoga in LA. There's a lot of beautiful people doing their work and teaching. But I think probably, maybe based on how spread out it is, or maybe because I think it might even be a bit more transient than New York. I think there's a denser population of teachers who've been doing it for a long time. So to sum it up, I think I haven't found, quote, my teachers, but yes. I found a lot of people that I really respect. And I really enjoy the experience they offer. But in New York is kind of where I go to learn and to grow as a teacher. So there's not that I can't find that in LA, just in my experience, that hasn't yet been the thing.
Do you think that, because I know you were born in the Northeast, you grew up there.
Outside of Philadelphia.
You're straight up East Coast. So do you feel like because we have those roots, it's not about not connecting with people in California or the West Coast. It's just like when it comes down to it, yoga is such a deep spiritual practice. When you dig to the true roots of it and you're looking for, you know, the teacher or teachers who you really gravitate to, that there's some sort of deeper connection just by default that happens for you with the East Coast.
Yeah, I think that is probably I think that is probably part of it. I think it's also, yeah, where your origin of your initiation, where your origin or your initiation is into practices means yeah. something. And I think the exposure I had in New York City, I'm super grateful for. And one of my main teachers lives in New York, so I
give a shout out.
Yeah, my teacher Kevin Courtney is an amazing, amazing yoga teacher in New York.
Cool. Well, he made a great teacher out of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's beautiful to find people that you really honor for their work.
You know, I want to ask you what your favorite thing about each city is that you cannot find in the other.
Okay, that's very easy. New York. Well, I miss. I also became a woman, so to speak, in New York City, and I developed relationships there that are
with the college there.
Yeah, there. So those relationships are very near and dear to my heart. So not that my friends are better or worse anywhere, but I do miss access to those, to the people that I that I know and the people I don't. New York just has dope people everywhere. But more basic than that is the ability to walk and the mobility. the mobility of New York is way, in my opinion, way better because I don't have to drive. Some would say the opposite and be like, yeah, but you can drive everywhere. That's even better. So I'd say New York has that. LA, I mean, we've got nature. We've just got access, you know, we can go.
Yeah.
We can just head out whenever we want. That has been the thing that has kept me here in LA for sure.
Nature is just, it's a gift. And there's a reason that people are pulled and drawn towards the ocean. And people, just like plants, right? When the sun shines, they reach out to grow. It's like, well, why wouldn't it make sense that we do it as humans too?
Like, right?
We embrace it and need it just as much as they do. At least for me, I love the sun. I love the beach. I'll probably end up moving there within a year or two. We don't know which one yet, but it is in the plans. So
that's so cool.
We're lucky. My wife and myself can both do our thing from home or wherever. So we've spent our time here in the South, and you know, I reckon we might have to truck on.
Yeah, truck on for sure.
Bless our hearts. Bless our hearts.
Bless. I can't even do that accent, but amazing.
It's not something that I'm too happy about. I met plenty of good people in Charlotte. We're hitting a new chapter in our own life.
Yeah. So. Moving, I think, is one of the most direct accesses to spiritual growth. That and starting your own business, which you've done both of. Oh, and probably having a child, which I haven't done. I imagine that is also a direct access to evolution.
Oh my god.
Even if it gets gritty.
I've heard some, it's amazing.
Humans are cool.
Shout out to humans.
Humans everywhere.
If you could give a word of advice to the Erin Ward before you left New York City, what would you tell her, knowing what you know now?
I would say, sister, let's enjoy the ride, and every part that you're in question, celebrate the question as much as you are the pursuit of the answer, because it's all going to work out in a way you can't expect. And that has been my truth thus far. And I also hold on to that advice as I move forward, because I am still in question, and every day is a question, but I developed this much deeper trust in the unknown. Lean into that trust, because it also makes the ride of a hell of a lot more enjoyable than you know, planning everything out, because I, Erin, think I am almighty and in control. It's amazing that I still catch myself, because there's something way bigger at work than me. So I think I'd like to lean into it.
Yeah. No doubt. And I think the closer we are to our Dharma, or at least understanding what our Dharma is and truly living it, knowing that as long as we are in line with that, that we will be taken care of the way we're supposed to be.
That's a great point. Yeah, for sure.
Like usual, you've actually covered a lot of the questions I was going to ask you just without even knowing it. I have one last question. Do you ever regret leaving New York City?
I wouldn't say regret, but I have been because I think came to LA, whether I stayed or I left, I probably would have learned similar lessons, and you know, it would have brought me to the place I needed to be, you know, as a, in this form as Erin, but it has inspired within me a desire to be able to dance between both. Because it's the yin and the yang kind of feeling with the city. I go back to New York as much as I can to get inspired and to connect with roots and to be with my teachers. And then I come back to LA to to be with Mama Nature and to explore the medicine that's available out here and the all of the richness it has to offer. So I don't regret, but I am fueled to be able to more easily go back and forth.
That's so cool. I'm so happy that we are at this point. Both of us are in very good places, and I'm glad and super grateful to get the details of what you're up to in as much as we can in this podcast, because like I said, I am loyal and I'm grateful for the people that came on the show when we first started, because, you know, realistically, people are like, what's this? What is that? I don't know. Who knows? He seems okay, but I don't know. Maybe he's not okay. Maybe the show's not good. I don't know. But we're in a good place right now, and I'm always going to take care of and seek to promote and seek to connect with the people that were there in the early days, or the, you know, what would be the quote unquote early days. I mean, it's going to be a year in December, but other than that.
Wow. That's so exciting. Wow.
And it seems like it's been much longer, but it hasn't. So we've just done a lot of stuff.
Isn't that weird how time works like that? It's like when things are uncomfortable, those like, I talked about this actually today in my class. I was like, man, time takes on a funny perspective. When you're in a moment of discomfort, it seems to last forever. You tell me to hold a plank for 2 minutes, that 2 minutes feels like hours. But when you're in a place of joy, like this weekend I went to Colorado just to be in nature. Yeah. That weekend went by in what seemed like 10 seconds. I was like, time is amazing. It's like all perspective.
Right. The time never changed. We did.
Mm-hmm. And we packed a hell of a lot into it, including you rising to the top of it, of the charts. It's amazing.
We're doing all right. Thank you. Just look, I'm grateful to wake up and actually be able to do this wherever, whenever, you know.
Yeah.
Really do it this time. You know, when I was on radio, I didn't really do it on my terms. I did on my terms, but I was still working for big companies and, you know, sponsors. And now we have sponsors coming on, which probably will be on the air next week, presumably. But it's so gratifying to really create something and take the risk and then truly own it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like pick which sponsors, say whatever you want to say. I'm not saying I want to sit here and like just curse for an hour. It's not like that. It's just like the pride or the joys of truly creating something from nothing.
Yeah. And giving everyone a chance to have an authentic voice that sometimes doesn't line up with bigger conglomerates and with, you know, the kind of corporate what's best for business. So I'm so grateful that you followed that and your dream, and that I get to talk to you about cool things.
You know, Erin, thank you. And I, you know, again, I'll say that you were instrumental in helping it build for sure. You know, so I'm grateful, and I don't know what we're going to do moving forward, but you know, the door is open to pick back up on excavating with Erin. You know, I know you're writing haikus. I don't want you to feel forced. Not that you feel forced. I don't want to use that word, but feel that you're going to write a blog. Maybe you're not feeling like writing blogs right now, but if you just want to jump on, the door is always open.
I am so excited by that idea. I think we should totally do a renaissance of it, a pick back up, let's go. Why not?
There you
let's
go.
Do it. So you're hearing it here first, friends. We'll let you know what transpires, but we're back at it.
That's right. The old duo is at it again. We're back.
The band is back together.
All right. Erin, I know you have a very busy life between teaching and also you friends. You have a lot of friends, much more and you have an intimate partner now, which is beautiful. So I'm so happy, and he's a very lucky man, as I'm sure you feel like a very lucky woman, because I know that you would only be with someone and it's in your heart, and that, you know, you're both deserving of each other, and that's awesome. So happy.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. So I will be in touch, and I guess we'll make Tuesday our day.
Yeah. Tuesday's the day. Let's do it.
All right, friends. Next week, same time, same channel.
Beautiful.
All right. It's been so great catching up with you, and I look forward to, and so is the audience. I'm sure they do. Looking forward to speaking with you next week.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. Thank you so much.
We came here to celebrate diversity, not be afraid of it.